This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, high and mighty fans? It's your boy, John Gabris, peddling my favorite snack delivery company, NatureBox.com. They're sponsors of this show, and they are sponsors of delicious snacks. I tell you that. Last night, I went to go see 2001 A Space Odyssey, Stanley Kubrick's masterpiece at the Hollywood Bowl, and I knew I was going to want some snacks, and they let you bring your own snacks. But I didn't want to get loose on some pretzels or some greasy-ass potato chips. So I brought my sriracha roasted cashews and my sweet blueberry almonds, and I went nuts for nuts. Thanks to NatureBox, I was able to eat these healthier snacks. And here's the thing, they bring it right to your house. You don't have to go shopping. You don't have to choose. You just pick your favorite types of snacks off the website, and they'll send you a box a month. And now, if you use my name, Gabris, that's naturebox.com/Gabris, your first box is on them. And no more little trial, little wimpy boxes. NatureBox is saying if you act fast, you can get a full-size snack box. That's naturebox.com/Gabris. Let's get nuts for nuts. Hi, all right, guys, it's the time you've all been waiting for. You needed to pick my brain about sex. Listeners, followers on Twitter and Tumblr and all that, you guys have been so excited to just know what this sex guru, John Gabris, had to say about sex and relationships. And out of fear of not knowing enough, I brought in one of my good friends and possible sex god, possible sex machine,
shucks,
and definite ginger.
That
comedian, storyteller, the director of every one-man show I do, John Flynn. John Flynn, thank you so much for coming to the High and Mighty production offices.
Thank you for having me, Gabris. It's very impressive.
Oh, yeah. It's sort of a big deal.
It's really a big deal. Absolutely.
It smells like weed. And now a basil candle that I lit.
Really setting the mood. Thank you.
I wanted to light a candle just so that it felt sexy in here because I don't bring the sex. I'm in sweatshorts and a t-shirt from yesterday. I brush my teeth minutes before this conversation.
Oh, I appreciate that, yeah. You bring a certain kind of sex, I think.
Yeah, I bring a specific subset of sex.
Subsex. A specific, maybe small, but definitely loyal.
And that's all you need.
Really,
I just
need
someone who's into it and enthusiastic. So John and I met telling stories at in New York at the show Nights of Our Lives that John produced and hosts and runs.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out that we both have a lot of opinions about sex.
We do, yeah.
Where we differ, though, is that I've been having sex with one woman for the last 12 and a half, 13 years.
Uh-huh.
And you've been having sex with men.
Yes. one specific man for the last 5 years, but many multiple men before that.
Many multiple men. My favorite superheroes. The multiple men are here to fuck John Flynn.
Hey.
So that's where the only difference between
the
you
only
and
difference
I,
between really. The two of us. Otherwise, we're indistinguishable.
So we went to Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Tinder, asking people for their sex questions, if they had any sex advice they needed us to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And John and I got I would say the response is violently underwhelming.
Tepid at best.
Maybe because we haven't done one of these yet. Once people listen to this.
Once we've been branded, then yeah.
Once the video of us fucking, the demonstrational video that we're going to record after this, of you and I boning down comes out, people will be into it.
There'll be questions.
Mostly from my parents. okay. So I say we just get right into it.
Let's jump right in.
Mostly, to be fair, we got mostly bit questions.
Right.
A lot of stuff from my straight rugby playing friends about ass play, which is still comical to them in 2015.
More than happy to get into it with your straight rugby friends.
That's not the first time you said that.
Nope.
Completely different context last time.
Not completely.
Just tweaks. Okay. So the first question we got is from Bo Burns, who I guess I'm Facebook friends with. Don't know who he is, though. Sorry, Bo. Auntie John, what is your go-to move during sex?
And he's referring to you when he says Auntie John.
Yeah, I think, because there's no H. That's another major difference between us.
I have an H, you do not.
So, Well, I think we could both answer that.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, I don't know if I have a go-to move. I can't use a go-to move. I've had the same partner
for
30,000 days.
Because then it sort of becomes routine.
Right, yeah. We have some favorites, I guess I could say.
Sure.
Like, I don't want to... I'm not ready to just burn my wife's sexual life details here. But let's say a solid go-to that guarantees an O for the lady... And abilities for myself is me on bottom. I'm 6'2", 300 and something pounds.
Uh-huh.
Wait, I should have blacked out the 300. 301 pounds. Oh, he's not that fat. I thought he was going to say 390. When you're my size, being on the bottom is easier. Which takes a different meaning
I understand you mean it differently. You mean literally.
Beneath. Beneath what lies beneath is John Gabris. And Mrs. Gabris gets on top. I last a little longer on the bottom. And I think I read somewhere that's because the blood isn't flowing so hard into your penis.
Oh, interesting.
I read that somewhere that you can last a little longer when your penis is up in the air because the blood. Like if you're on top, the blood is already flowing to it, and that really gets you going. I can last longer on bottom. I read that somewhere. I don't know if that's true or if it's all psychosomatic.
Well, I would also wonder if it's just you have less upper body challenge of like holding yourself up.
Oh yeah, well I can last longer because my wrists don't snap.
Yeah, I've heard people say that it's tougher to come as a bottom if you're like on top. Like if the person who is topping is actually on their back in the Gabris position.
I was about to say.
Call it
so complicated. All right, so the person who's bottoming is on top,
right? It's sitting on top of the person beneath, the passive top who's just lying on there.
So the top meaning. All right, so let's just talk about this.
Let's bring it down. Let's unpack it.
So for in gay sex, top and bottom is the classic.
The top
pitcher
would be
catcher.
The person. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
As the straights call it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, you have your own terms for it.
Well, that's like when you played like Little League. Someone's like, "Are you pitcher or catcher?" I just licked the mic by accident, and now I'm hard. So the bottom is the person who receives.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Your bottom, I guess, is being engaged. It sounds very almost British.
Please engage my bottom. A British robot. A British sex robot. Would you care to engage my bottom? So you're saying if the bottom is on top, like
yes,
sitting on
exactly
the lap, like cowboy style.
Right. Cowboy style.
Right, because usually we call it reverse cowgirl, but this is reverse
cowboy.
I'm speaking on behalf of every hetero. Reverse cowgirl is when a girl's sitting on your lap facing away. So I'm assuming cowgirl is just her riding you.
Sure.
So cowboy style.
Yeah. So that apparently it is harder for the bottom to come. I think it's harder for the bottom to come anyway, but to actually come. To have fun, no. But
so let's get into that. We were also talking maybe at some point me asking John some questions about homosexual sex and him asking me some questions about straight sex. So let's get into it
right now.
By the way, this podcast is NC-17. Advertisers are like, So can guys get off from being a bottom? Can you come?
Yeah, definitely.
Because of the male G-spot, the prostate.
Exactly.
Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm. I think it's tough. I haven't ever just come from that, like without any sort of other help.
Right.
But it's definitely, you definitely can have a good time if people know what they're doing down there.
Yeah, it still feels good.
Yeah.
Because I, in full disclosure here, this is the High and Mighty podcast. We're letting it all out there.
Sure.
I've had my ass played with a little bit.
Sure, and, as well you should have.
It feels pretty damn good. If you can get all, I understand where straight guys would be afraid. Like it's very, like for years, just even hitting that area with a loofah terrified me, you know, just showering made me nervous.
Sure.
But then, you know, you get one adventurous girl or you're getting your balls played with and a hand
something
goes a little
slips
further than you thought,
sure,
like a little taint action, then a little bit further and you're like, okay, all right, I like that.
You just gotta keep breathing, that's what I say.
Keep breathing. Don't stop breathing.
Do not stop breathing. So, like, what do you think for you was the thing that, like, pushed it over that made you be like, okay, I can do this? Like, feel like there was specific things?
There was one drunken night with an ex-girlfriend. Uh-huh. She was my ex-girlfriend at the time. We were doing one of those throwback sex moments where you have sex with someone you have the... That, by the way, my wife listens to this, but I'll just go, I'll deal with that on my own. I feel like sometimes if you've ever broken up with someone and then had one of those last flings a couple of weeks or a couple of months later, those are usually some of the most exciting sex you can have, because you know you're not going to see that person again, and you right. shouldn't, but exactly. you also have known each other's bodies for a while.
Right, you know the key parts to
Yeah, you know what you're doing. It's not nervous, yeah. it's not, and it's also like, you know, I think everybody, when they break up with someone, should just have, unless it's for very bad reasons, you should right. have one more throwback moment with them. And that throwback moment involved some little bit of butt play.
A little butt play. Nice. Yeah. I guess you can push it a little bit farther, just as like, right. well, let's see.
Yeah, exactly. Because uh-huh. you don't have to wake up the next morning and go see her parents or his parents.
Really,
I also feel like,
you
know, as I'm talking about this, I'm starting to think that maybe she did that to be like, this guy thinks he can come back and fuck me. I'm going to finger his ass, teach him a goddamn lesson. I haven't really done it much since, because it wasn't... I can tell it felt good, but I like to get danger close is what I like to do.
Sure. Right now. Do you feel like there's excitement just on the sort of like forbiddenness of it?
Yeah, there's something about it. Uh-huh. The perineum? The perineal area?
Perineum? The taint, sure.
Yeah, yeah. That I like that. I like getting that engaged.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that.
Engage your taint. Engage your taint. It's got to be if I ever make t-shirts for this podcast. You and I live in West Hollywood. You and I just went and got coffee with t-shirts that said engage your taint.
Oh, we just missed gay pride.
Hey guys, when's pride?
It was last weekend.
Engage your taint. So some guys can, backtracking a little bit, so sure. some guys can come from penetration.
Sure.
But also, you got free hands there. You can
right.
dabble, or you know, well. You can get the classic, the reach around, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because is the reach around a big... Oh, here's my next gay question. Is the reach around a big move? Like, if the top... If you're engaging in doggy style... I guess you guys... Do you guys still call it doggy style?
Because
that's just like... That's missionary for you guys, right?
I suppose.
Is that the most bread and butter
anal,
way to
yeah.
have sex? Oh, I guess... Oh, because right. Because anal is...
You don't
necessary.
Have to do anal.
Right. Because
right.
there are... Let's keep them
Let's
coming.
Keep it going,
fuck
yeah.
these other people's stupid ass questions. I've got. By the way, this episode is just me exploring.
It ends with you coming out of the closet. If this episode does not end with you coming out of the closet, it's a failure.
One of them will. It's for my bear fans out there, one of these episodes will end with me coming out of the closet. We just don't know which one.
Keep listening.
Just keep tuning in.
Subscribing.
Keep buying Squarespace or whatever. I don't even know who the sponsors are. I should shut up. If I have any. So there's some gay dudes who don't like to do anal sex, right?
Correct.
I'm assuming they're just into hands and mouths and stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And are there some? Is there some dudes who don't like to give blowjobs? I feel like that could be a big barrier for gay guys.
Yeah, I mean, there are people who have all kinds of hangups and weird whatever.
Right, right. Because I guess I know dudes who don't like to eat girls out, which I think is crazy.
Right.
So I guess it doesn't make
What's the point?
Yeah, it's the same thing. There's got to be the same thing.
I mean, there are definitely some guys who are like super passive, and I've had sex with a few of them that's so boring, where like they just want to lie there and they want you to do everything and you take care of all of whatever, and they just like, that's their thing.
Now, is that a reflection of their attitude in general, or is that a reflection of like maybe their
repressed?
Yeah,
I don't know. It could be a lot of things. I will say this: in most cases that I've been in situations like that, they were gay Republicans.
Oh, right. They're like, I'm gay, but I'm not into it.
Yeah,
it's just like I have one black friend, but I don't talk to him that much.
Right. I won't see a Tyler Perry movie with them.
No, not again. Couldn't hear a thing. All right, now I'm racist. Cool. So let's move on to another question.
Sure,
let's
keep
it going.
Yeah.
And I'll figure out a way to turn that into asking you 50 gay questions. Our next question is from a mutual friend, Mono. We don't have to give his last name. There can only be one of them. What truly is the appropriate amount of time to wait between sexy time sessions with your partner? Or a stranger?
The appropriate amount of time?
I think it's like as whatever your refractory
The two people want. Yeah, your refractory period. I think with a stranger, I think the faster you get into it, the more open it is to going to crazy town.
Right. Like if you don't wait that long.
Yeah, if you just meet them and like, let's go, then I think it feels like it's an open check for anyone to be like, all right, well, here's the crazy shit I'm into. So let's, yeah. It's almost like we're already at, you know, 100 miles an hour. Let's just keep it going.
All right. And so now taking this opportunity to open up the field to homosexual uh-huh. questions, being, and I don't know about lesbians, but for two dudes, since uh-huh. guys are kind of can be forward.
Yes.
And especially with other guys, like you right. could tell, like, people would be more comfortable telling their friends that they like to get their balls licked than they would tell a girl that they were hooking up with. I right. feel like guys would be more comfortable mentioning to a stranger at the gym how much they like getting their balls licked than the girl who's blowing them saying, like, right. wouldn't you lick my balls? He's like afraid to say it. Are gay dudes, like, sometimes with those casual hookups, are they just like, here's what I want to do. What do you want to do? Let's fucking...
Let's see what overlaps.
Yeah, yeah. Where's the Venn diagram?
yeah, I think it's just a dude thing where it's just like
right, that's what
dudes
I'm saying.
Are much so easier just, like...
Removing
yeah,
the girl from the equation.
Yeah, and not getting like caught up in like... I don't know, like getting to know you. Like, I've had so much sex with guys. Like, I don't even... maybe I knew their name. I certainly don't remember it if they told me.
Right, and there's no body... I mean, sometimes there's body self-conscious stuff, but a lot of the stuff that the heterosexual hang-ups are coming from, often from... And now I'm stereotyping, but coming from uh-huh. the women of like, wait, I should get to know you. Hey, we're not doing that. This is not... You know, this is our first date. And dudes are like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Well, I mean, there's also like, dudes get, we keep trying, but we can't get pregnant.
Right.
So that there's yeah. less a sense
there is
of like,
that fear
this
too.
Could be really bad. It's like, as long as like, there's not too many weird... toys involved, we should be leave here at least physically unscarred, emotionally maybe not.
Is there a weird toy that is like some like is there a weird toy that is a no-go
for me
or for in like is there a classic toy that some dudes are into that because I know a lot of guys are afraid of sex toys. I ain't afraid of no sex uh-huh. toy.
Right.
I mean, you being used on me, I'm not afraid of it. I've never done it. Right. But like uh-huh. using a toy on a girl, I don't mind. I ain't afraid of some tools?
No, I'm not afraid. I think also with gay people, there's more of a sense of because, like, especially if you're two bottoms, they might be like, well, we need to get a double-headed dildo. Or we're just taking turns.
So there are people who don't even like to top.
Yeah.
Because I guess now this is just me in my myopic straight world, in my hetero world.
Your hetero privilege?
Yeah, yeah, that bottoming seems like the harder job. Like, I'd be like, oh, if I were to be gay, I guess I'd be a top. But then I'm like, wait, would I?
I think bottoming is one of those things, like, once you get used to it. I mean, it's also like, if that's what you love, then,
right, right,
then
right.
that's what you
yeah.
love.
Yeah, you got to get, like, maybe you'll top for the right guy. But right. really, you need to get some bottoming.
Mm-hmm. In, yeah, you just need to get your laps in.
Get the reps in.
Once
you know?
You've got your reps in,
three
then you're
sets,
just like, no, this
reps
is it. Yeah,
mass.
Yeah, it's like going to the gym. If you haven't been in a while, you're like, I don't want to go to the gym. But once you start going regularly, you're like, oh, I can't wait to go to the gym.
Man, see, now there are some stereotypes that are true about gay guys. They fucking love the gym.
Yep.
Who wouldn't?
Can't stop going.
All right, so the next question, you brought up pregnancy. A friend of mine, Ren, Facebook, his comment was, would you use a condom? He's French. So it says, would you use a condom device that detects STDs with a link to the Google patent for that new condom that like a young kid invented? I shouldn't say young kid. It makes it sound super young. But like a college
12-year-old.
Yeah, a college kid invented a condom that could detect STDs and changes color. Would you use that? I should probably have gotten one more piece of information before I brought it up.
It feels weird to me that would be part of the condom. Like, if there was, like, almost like a pregnancy stick where it's like, we're both going to piss on this, and then it will show if one of us has an STD, and then you can decide
yeah,
whether or not.
If you but pull if you're like, a condom out, and it's right. glowing green, and you're like, which one's green? Oh, wait, it's way too late.
Right, exactly. Then it feels like you're past the point of, like, making a smart decision.
So hey, is it cool if I put this condom on my fingers and just hit you with it for a little bit just to test the waters?
I just want to get it. Could you spit in this condom?
Yeah, at that point, you might as well have like a test strip, like yeah. you're saying. Yeah. And to answer that question even quicker, I ain't using no fucking condoms, dude. I'm in my 30s now. I've done okay so far. I've had the same girl.
But you're also like married, like
I'm
in
married.
A relationship.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
if I don't know, could you imagine if you had sex with another woman and Tiffany said it was okay or Tiffany was mystically in a happier other place?
Could I imagine that?
But like, would
could
you
I
imagine
Ruby Rose? Tiffany says,
but like,
and
would
Ruby
you
Rose
do you think
okay
you would use go back to using a condom again?
I think I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, out of fear and also to make sure I lasted a little bit longer. It's my one chance with another girl. Well, also also, there's like, there is a touch of more intimacy to not wearing a condom.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, there's like a level of commitment, I feel like, that goes, I mean, often you've raw dogged with some near strangers or strangers, mm-hmm. but there is a level of intimacy that comes with not rocking one. And, you know, like, there's like, okay, we're taking this off. This is where uh-huh. we are in our relationship.
How long were you in your relationship with Tiffany before that happened?
We never used one. All right. My pullout game is mad strong. Averaging sex once every 4 months for 13 years is pretty good.
Wow, you used the really old slow rhythm method.
I'm white. I have no rhythm whatsoever. So, yeah. So the main answer is, now, what about our what is the I mean, condoms are important in the gay community,
right.
obviously.
Sure. Let's take it. You really take it serious for a second.
Well, no, because I was just saying, because like, dudes don't like condoms.
Right.
Often.
Mm-hmm.
And if two dudes are, but that's got to be an understood
thing. If two dudes are fucking, yeah. If you don't, if, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you just got to do it. Right, but like, two dudes don't always fuck, right? We hook up.
Yeah.
They hook up. Oh, no! All right, real quick, full disclosure, someone is blowing me, got to go, bye. All right, on to the next question from Mike Carey, another former rugby friend of mine. Huh. At what point during bottom play should you begin to question yourself? You know, I think you should question yourself just asking that question, Mike.
No, I go the other way. I say take the stigma off of bottom play. I think if guys, straight guys, or self-identified straight guys want to try stuff up there, go right ahead.
Yeah, just do There's it with a girl.
Yeah. Or with a prop or a toy or something like that. Yeah.
In the shower. Yeah. Might I recommend soaping it up?
Yes.
And just
relaxing, light a basil candle,
smoke a J, get in the shower, and just do a little, a slight penetration.
Yeah.
You're
in control. You're completely in control.
Yeah, you're not going to get
speed.
Molested.
Yeah.
I say I'm down with taking the stigma off butt play, and I don't even like it that much, but mm-hmm. I think you should try it. Why? Especially if you've been in a relationship for a long time.
Absolutely.
Right?
Like, you should start trying everything.
It's the only other thing
that's
left.
Yeah.
It's funny, when you've been in a relationship for a long time like this, you sometimes like get into throwback stuff, like, you know, you're like, I kind of want a hand job. Like, you know, like, you know, you're kind of like, I kind of want you to leave all your clothes on, you know, or like you find like these little strange things that you're like, oh, this is new, or like, oh, you have glasses on today. Wait, don't take them off. You know, it's like any slight change when you're in a long-term relationship is always just going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Susan Beebe, friends with John Flynn.
That
That's
is
what
true,
it
yeah, high school friend.
How do you feel about toe sex?
Again, it's not something I'm into. I have experienced something that I think would be close to toe sex. There's probably in the world of that.
Is that like fucking feet? Or
yeah,
feet
it was a
fucked?
Foot thing. This is back in New York. I met some guy at a bar, and he was a boxer. He was like this big, like muscle guy. And it was like in the summer, and he was wearing a sweater. That's why I started talking to him. Anyway, so we went back to my place, and we're fooling around. And he was like had the best body of anyone I'd ever fooled around with. Like, it was literally like marble. Like, it was just, and he also like was a gymnast when he was younger, which is very helpful, especially in gay sex, to just have flexibility. It's really
it's pretty welcomed in heterosexual.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, good. Yeah. Flexibility can't be understated. Anyway, so we're fooling around.
Stay loose, people.
just light stretches every morning. It'll keep you young.
Foam roll.
And he, at one point, he was like, hey, do you want to try something? And I'm always, the fear I always have whenever anyone asks that is like, I hope it's not scat related.
Yeah.
Not jazz singing, but yeah, no pooping.
Hey, you want to try something real quick? Beat it up. Oh, no. My worst nightmare. Please, shit on
my
face. My
boner is gone. Anyway, so he goes, do you mind wearing some men's dress socks? And I was like,
ooh.
I was like, sure, I'm not sure if I have any. And he was like, oh, I've got some. And he like jumped over to his pants pocket. He had like a brand new pair, like just bought from the store, a pair of like knee high men's dress socks. And I was like, all right, like there's no reason to say no to this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see how this could go bad.
Yeah, let's see what the next step is.
Yeah. So I put them on and he went to town on my feet and ankles. And it was, I was like so happy for him because like it literally, like, to me, it was like nothing was going on. Like,
right. He was like,
but it was whatever his programming. He
like
was
rubbing
wired
and
for
kissing
it.
Or like fucking,
like just rubbing like his rubbing dick. His dick all over my ankles with these socks. I like, it was, I gave him the best gift of his life. Yeah, I felt like so happy for him.
That's even so though awesome. I was that's so all you can disconnected. Ask for.
Yeah. Yeah,
nothing that puts you out too much, and right, he's exactly. really into it. It's like that's if you're with a partner who's like, should you put on these dress socks and just lie down? Let me rub my dick all over. Like, yeah,
sure. Can I watch TV while you do it?
Yeah. I'm almost done no with season 3 of Orange Is the New Black.
Right, exactly. It was like that. So I say, if that's what you're into, go for it. It's not something I'm particularly turned on by, but sure.
Feet are something I've never really been into, and I meet some guys who are into feet, and I feel like it's like an older dude thing too, but maybe just older dudes are a little more confident in talking about their fetishes, at least in the straight community. And
possibly
or maybe there is another parallel, but even like the cutest feet ever on a girl, I have no desire to place my genitals on feet. Like, my wife's feet are beautiful and so cute,
right,
but I don't need to be like fucking them, you know.
Right, you're not like turned on by what shoes she's wearing or anything like that.
Well, that could be different, like, you know, certain shoes look sexy, or like dress socks, like stockings on a girl, or like thigh highs or knee highs, that could do a little something too. It's again, it's that change. It's like, it's like,
is it like a texture thing? Because I know some people are like super into texture things.
Yeah, I think for me, it's more visual than it is tactile. It's like seeing a girl in like thigh high stockings feels naughty. You know what I mean? It's like seeing a girl naked is one thing, but seeing a girl like half undressed has got like another layer to it. You know?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and also it's like a classic pornography outfit. You know, like,
right.
So maybe that it brings back some stuff like that. Not into feet. And I'm all about, like, I'm pro fetish. If you're into something, get it. You know, like, I like to say, this is my theory, is that every band, no matter how bad or how shitty or how, you know, unknown they are, has someone that's their favorite band.
Right.
Like, name any shitty band you want. One person in the world, at least one, is obsessed with that band.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about fetishes, like clowns farting on balloons. One person loves
that. There are people
that.
Who are into that.
The only one I can't wrap my head around is poop.
Yeah, that's the one for me that I couldn't go along with. Like, if someone was like, could you wear this cop outfit? Sure.
Yeah. Oh, outfits?
Yeah.
I mean, we're theater guys. So outfits, I'm into. I'll play any fucking character you want. I'm like, I'm the Scottish detective. Sean Connery just like backhand my wife across the face. Almost any fetish, I can see the gateway into it too, where you're like, oh, I get like pain fetish. I'm not into getting like abused, but getting your hair pulled every once in a while, or wrestling a little bit, like, that's all fun.
Sure.
But I could see how you can get into that and then keep chasing the dragon higher and higher until you're getting like a girl's kicking you in the nuts with high heels on or something.
Yeah. Like that. I imagine that like kids who are younger than us who grew up with the internet are probably going to have more extreme fetishes than we ever did, just because they have so much access to it.
Yeah, we sort of talked about this previously, but like, when I was a kid, to look at porno, I had to like go into the woods, move a log, and get like a wrinkly old magazine that everyone in the neighborhood shared, and just look at it like that.
You now, had like a neighborhood porn magazine?
We had like we had Blown Away taped off of Showtime by my friend Dennis.
What is Blown Away?
Blown Away is a Corey Haim and Nicole Eggert movie that has like 4 sex scenes in it. And we had it on VHS, and we passed it around the neighborhood, more or less. It was like, who's got Blown Away? They're like, it's at Travis's house. We'd all go to, like, someone go borrow it from them, bring it back to your house because your parents were, like, or you're staying home sick, you had to get it. And then you just watch, like, that's what we all jerked off to. Now, you could just go online and search any 3 words.
Yeah.
Like you could play a game, like a random word generator with porno and find it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could be like, nurse, mom, Korean, blood. And you can find something.
4 words, but sure.
Nurse mom is one.
Oh, gotcha. I was hyphenated. Sorry, yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
So, like, I could see, 100% agree with you. It's like, and also, what are young people's first sexual experiences like now?
I don't know. I think it's got to be, well, they're saying that a lot of young boys are having a problem because they're so conditioned by porn that they can't, real sex doesn't get them off.
Lying down nervously next to a girl under her blanket in her bunk bed and sort of rubbing your dick through your jeans against hers pales in comparison to having 40 tabs open of all different looking women in all different insane positions being absolutely annihilated.
Yeah, totally different. I did a thing a couple years ago. Someone had said, I was listening to another podcast, not as good as this one, and a woman was saying that she thinks that porn is going to be like what cigarettes were like maybe 50 or 60 years ago, where like it first happened and everyone was smoking and people were like, oh, there's nothing really bad about it. And then everyone's like, oh, shit, there's a lot of bad side effects. And so I did a thing where I was like, I'm going to do 30 days and not look at porn.
Holy shit, John. No joke. I just got off like 28 days.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Yeah. I agree with you about... And, all right,
I mean,
going,
I still
sorry.
Jerked off and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, same
like,
here,
and
but
I
you go
sex.
Back to using your mind, right?
Yeah, it was weird. At first, the first couple of days, it was really hard and difficult. And like I couldn't get hard. But then after that, I felt like my imagination got so much more vivid.
Yeah.
Did you feel the same thing?
I felt the same thing. And then also, I felt once I... If I didn't want to jerk off, I could sit in front of the computer, put on porno, and then wanted to jerk off. When I cut out porno, I like wanted to jerk off. Like my body was like, I would get random erections again like I never had since I'm 33 uh-huh. years old. And sex with my wife was better than it ever was because
yep,
I like she'd come home from work and I'd be like, oh, I didn't jerk off because I'm an unemployed shithead today. I swear. And I'm back. I broke the other day because I was super stoned and I thought she was on her period and she wasn't. She came home and wanted to have sex and I was like, oh no. But I pulled it off twice in one day. I haven't
Bravo.
Done that shit since I was like 19.
Bravo.
we saved that for vacations.
Ooh.
But I'm gonna go back off, dude. And also procrastination has become a major
Absolutely.
Issue for me. Yeah. Not a major issue. Let me back off a little bit there.
But it is tough when it's seconds away. You know, it's
right,
like
yeah. And you work at your computer.
Right.
And
yeah.
If you work from home like we do.
Right. Yeah. There's nothing. There's no reason not to.
It's really hard for me to get work done when this is, for those of you listening, I'm just sitting at my desk demonstrating to John. This is work. This is weed, and this is porno. Also on work is Grubhub. I can have food, jerk off, stone sesh, minutes before I finish any screen.
And all you have to move is one arm.
One arm, kind of fast at times.
Right.
But John, I haven't heard that yet. Porn is like cigarettes. I think there's going to be a thing where kids are going to be like, oh, I'm like young people in like a couple in like a generation.
I encourage people to try to take a break just to see how it is.
Yeah.
Because it is an interesting thing. I mean, I've been back to it and I go back to using it. But it was a really fascinating experiment.
I think I would have a hard time pitching no porn to my single friends.
Okay.
I think they would have a harder time dealing with that.
I could see that. I heard, do you know the comedian Tom Shalhoub?
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have said his name. Anyway, he said once on stage, so I'm not betraying a confidence, that he doesn't masturbate. And he said because of that, he has like really intense sex with his wife every couple days. When he said that, though, the whole audience was like, bullshit. Like, no one in the audience believed him. But he maintained, that's what he said on stage once several years ago.
I try to go, if Tiffany's not working or, you know, we're going to have some time, I try not to, just to make sure that...
So you're available.
Yeah, I'm available. Because, you know... The last thing you want to do for like an hour after you jerk off is anything, especially sex or jerk off again. It's really, isn't it a weird sensation when you're masturbating? You're like, oh, I can't wait to jerk off again. This feels so good. I'm going to do this again in like four. All right. And then as soon as you're done, you're like, oh, fuck. I call my mom. Actually, I don't know why you would say that. All right. Moving on to the next question. From John Paul B. Murphy, another former rugby player friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
How do I outkick my coverage as well as you did?
I don't know three of the words in that statement.
Yeah. So that's a rugby term, which also some people say, how do you fight above your weight? How are you playing in a major league?
How do you attract someone?
Yeah, how do I guess what he's referring to is how much more attractive my wife is than I am.
In your case.
In my case, yeah. Or maybe he means in how, like for himself, how do I get a girl?
How does he do that?
Yeah. The answer, Murph, and it's bad news for you, is you got to be funny. And you're
funny is
you're
a lot
not
of...
that funny. Or... You think you are, and that makes it even worse.
I think funny or just confidence.
Yeah.
I think watching someone be confident or like do their job well,
yeah.
or whatever it is that they do, be good at it, I think is very like appealing.
An interesting person.
Yeah.
Also, break out of your head out of what you find attractive. You know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
if you're thinking that the girls you're with aren't as attractive as you wanted them to be, maybe what your attraction is something. Maybe think less about looks and more about like this girl or this person is so passionate about their job or their career and so or so good at this hobby that it intrigues me. Like find something besides looks, because that shit goes away.
Yeah.
And especially
or you just get tired of it.
Yeah,
anyway.
If you're asking, how do I get someone who's better looking than I am? That makes it sound like you might not be, you don't consider yourself that attractive.
Right.
Looking. But that doesn't mean you're not attractive. So flip that and use that language instead of on yourself. Use it extra out towards other people.
Yeah, and similar to your band thing, everybody is someone's fetish.
Right.
Like, no matter what you look like, there's someone who's like, that's the look I like. Like, I like the skinny, nerdy, weird guy who looks like he doesn't go out in the sun.
Exactly. I like the doughy, in Murph's case, I'll just call him out in case he ever listens to this podcast. I like the doughy, sort of wealthy, drunk rugby player.
I feel like I want to meet your friend.
Yeah. Murph, if you really want to outkick your coverage, switch teams, play for the Gotham Knights, the gay rugby team in New York City, you'd be doing quite well.
Yeah.
It's a matter of being funny. Tina Fey says in her book, funny guys fuck above their station.
Absolutely.
And it's so true. But it also means confident guys, rich guys. Another thing outside of your looks will always...
Well, I think that's the thing that guys don't always realize is that, like, for women, looks aren't as important. And that's a broad stereotype generalization. Right. But I think that's true.
Yeah. I mean, not... Maybe for one night at the bar... Looks are a little more important, but in finding a person to be with for a long period of time, looks, any girl can convince themselves that they're physically attracted to you if they are mentally attracted to you or find you interesting.
If you make them feel good about themselves, then they will be attracted to you.
Yeah, exactly. I've done well my whole life and I haven't looked much different than this. And it's because I'm funny, I'm willing to talk to people and engage myself with them. And it's weird to listen to a podcast where the host keeps referring to how funny he is and you haven't laughed yet. All right, next question is from Brett Costain, another rugby player.
Uh-huh.
What's a bear? This guy said I would be a great one.
Okay, well...
Let's run through this, because we do have another question. I'll call it out now. From Ashley Prilliman.
Okay.
What's an otter?
Okay.
I kind of know what these are, but let's go through these terms, because these are kind of fun.
So bears typically are just big guys who are hairy and sort of like... usually
burly.
Overweight, burly,
yeah.
Overweight, brawny,
broad-shouldered, generally thick. Sometimes they're muscles. Sometimes there can
be muscles.
Big guts.
Yeah.
Hairy often.
Yes. Well, technically, all right. So bears are like basically big, fat, hairy guys.
Yeah.
Basically, if you want to get deep into the subculture, if you are a big guy who is overweight but not hairy, technically you're supposed to be called a manatee.
A manatee.
Yes.
So I'm technically a manatee.
Because you don't have a lot of body hair.
Right. But I do have a beard.
You do have a beard, so that helps. I don't think almost very few people get that gay
bear
about
sounds
it.
bear sounds way better than manatee.
Yes, definitely. There's something sort of sexy about like a bear, just sort of like that sort of like primal, like
growling. Yeah, and two bears
and
having sex, you imagine, is rather violent for some reason. You know, like clawing at each other and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of just hunks of flesh being ripped out.
Just grabbing a salmon out of the river and then fucking another dude.
Yep. Otters are skinny, hairy guys.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense.
So
if you're like just like chubby, like if you're not like all the way fat, if you're just like kind of chubby or like not big, like you're like small, then you could be called like a cub, a bear cub or something
like
that.
Okay, so... let's rate some friends of ours.
Okay.
If they were an Adam Pally, he'd be a cub or an otter?
I guess I would call him a cub. Otters, I also think of as being like sort of lean and muscular. And hairy.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Nate Smith.
Nate Smith. I don't think he really fits in that.
He's just gay.
He's just, yeah. He's more like a Chelsea boy.
I'm just shouting out friends. This podcast brought to you by bridgeburning.net. And so is there any other terms in there? Is there a wolf? Is there a...
I've heard wolf, but I don't know what it means. I think it's usually like an older guy, like an older otter who has like gray in his beard or something
like
that.
Yeah, like Silver Fox is a classic one.
Yeah, that would be, what's his name? That famous guy who's Gloria Vanderbilt's son. You know him. He is a news person.
Oh, shit. Anderson Cooper.
Yes, Anderson Cooper.
You know him. John Gabers, you know him personally. You know him. You blew him at Rawhide.
No, he likes Hispanic boys from what I understand.
Bridgeburning.net with John and John. So while we're on this topic,
sure.
Funny that I should be asked about being a bear. I've got a pretty solid bear
Yes,
the bears also, they like Tumblr. They like the social media platform Tumblr.
Uh-huh.
If I post a video where I don't have a shirt on or something kind of weird happens in it, something sort of pseudo-sexual, even if it's just a good picture of me,
sure,
I get tons of reblogs from very specific names.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Like
I have been on other Tumblrs and had pictures of you pop up, and I'm like, oh, great. Can't follow this anymore.
How am I supposed to jerk off to this? He's my friend.
When you know them, it's really not.
How am I supposed to jerk off to a picture of him when he let me jerk off in his bedroom? Is that mutual masturbation is not much of a thing with in the hetero community. Is that a thing in the gay community?
Just just go somewhere and jerk off on each other. Why
yeah,
not? Yeah,
yeah. That sounds like that could be fun. I think I would be into just a girl being like, "Let's go over here, and I'm just gonna fucking jam out. You jam out.
While we look at each other."
Yeah, yeah. I think that'd be hot.
Sure.
But I think to women, men jerking off, again, an overgeneralization, doesn't look like. A woman fingering herself to a woman is kind of like beautiful and like weird. And a guy seeing that is into that. But I don't know if a woman wants to see a dude jerk off. Because there's like a layer of violence to men masturbating.
Yeah, that's
a layer
true.
Of aggression.
I had a friend of mine told, someone told him, someone had said like, oh, have you ever had like a group sex session with like any of your friends, guy friends? And this friend of mine was like, no, I'm not really into that. And this guy said to him, like, you have to do it just so you can see like the face your friends make when they come.
Oh,
because it can be hilarious.
So funny. I haven't thought of that. That because that's you at your weakest.
That is
moment.
The most vulnerable, honest, true reflection of who you are.
Right,
in
right,
that like
yeah.
that 5 seconds where it's
what
just
you
like,
say
it's going.
Yeah. That
no
is
back.
So funny to imagine. That's actually a really fun game is just to a friend of yours look at them and just imagine what their face looks like when they come. I'm doing it to Amir, who's in the room right now with us. Oh, and he is coming, so it's pretty easy for us.
There's no imagination involved.
Okay, the next question I have is from Quinn P. Smith. Explain power bottom.
Okay.
I think that's a little self-explanatory now that we know what a bottom is.
Now that we know what a bottom is. Yeah, I think it's one of those things where typically, or sort of stereotypically, generalization, whatever, the bottom is usually thought of as being the more passive person, the one who's just sort of lying there and taking it.
Yeah.
But then a power bottom is the one who's like, no, you're going to fuck me, and you're going to fuck me the way I tell you you're going to fuck
like
me.
Yeah, like backing in it, back into it.
Yeah.
Right? Backing into it.
Yeah.
Like for
giving a lot of notes during sex.
Yeah. So it's like straight sex. Where the bottom is telling you what you're doing wrong and how you could do it better.
Exactly.
At least for me. And maybe more aggressive on the bottom too.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's pretty much self-explanatory. Next up, I've got from Journey Deep. I'm a straight guy who's often attracted to lesbians, not the porn kind. Is there something wrong with me? There's certainly nothing wrong.
Non-porn lesbians?
Nothing. First of all, if you say lesbians, I don't immediately think of porn lesbians. Yeah. I think of women I know
I
that
Leah
are attracted
DeLaria
to
Leah DeLaria and Rosie O'Donnell.
I think of Ellen DeGeneres and my mom's friend. I was just
and
set
my
her
aunt.
Name out. I don't know if she's open or not. And my mom now. So I think what are you attracted to lesbians? Here's a couple of guesses for me. Maybe you're attracted to lesbians because there's no rejection.
Yeah, there's that, or like the forbidden element of it is
right,
something
the
that you like.
Forbidden element of it. Or there's the like maybe the stylistic, like maybe you like
the
like
look,
if you're thinking
yeah.
of a classic lesbian, you know, like lesbians
right.
come in all different shapes and sizes. But if in your head you're like into short haired girls who wear denim jackets,
like
you know,
a wallet
like,
chain.
Yeah, like
yeah.
The lesbian look is very similar to the hipster look, you
right.
know, or like the skater chick look, like the classic look like that. And maybe you're attracted to that.
Yeah.
But I also think sometimes people are attracted to someone that they know is unavailable. Kind of like, I call it the Rosie, like speaking of Rosie O'Donnell, like Rosie uh-huh. O'Donnell's obsession with Tom Cruise.
Right.
Like she picked, like before she was out, you pick someone that is unattainable so that you don't
right.
have to deal with your own, like you're like, no, this is who I love.
Right.
Unrequited
or like,
love. And then you can use that to not ever really address what you're after, like what you really want, I think.
There definitely can be an element of that. I know a lot of, we know a gay guy who before he was out claimed that like he was only into like really hot supermodel kind of girls.
Right, and I know this is where it's coming from. I think I've known some people that were formerly closeted that had a crush on someone that was impossible to get or someone that was in that they knew that was married or someone that was also
right.
or like a closeted woman who was obsessed with a guy who we were all pretty sure was gay, you know, like I feel like sometimes you do that too to protect yourself. So
that definitely can happen. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, like, I've been made fun of a lot for, like, having a lot of crushes on straight guys. And I don't think that's the case, although there might be an element of that. Who knows?
Right, but maybe it's also more like there's the forbidden element there, but it's also like if you're into women, lesbians can be attractive women. You know, like they're attractive women. You're attracted to them. I don't know if you're attracted to the idea of them being lesbians.
Or maybe there's even like an ego element of like, oh, if I can have sex with that lesbian, then like I'm really something.
I definitely known a couple of gay dudes who are like, cocky about I'll convert you, you know, like right. who are like mm-hmm. who I think would love to put like a notch on their belt, like I got another one.
Sure,
like, I blew another high school quarterback.
Yeah, well, what I will say in my experience, it's not quite as difficult as you think it's going to be. Sometimes
I guarantee. I know I've been your I'm your white whale over here. I have been fighting John's advances for years. Just kidding.
You're fighting. Yeah.
I've been loving
running
every fucking
away while looking back to make sure I'm still chasing you.
But I'm flattered. I know everyone. Like every time I respond to like a you know an insane sexual approach on Tumblr or something like that, I'm like I'm flattered, but I'm of married course. And straight. Right. And they're like, it's so cool that you're just open about. I'm like, who wouldn't want to be considered attractive?
Yeah.
Like, I don't. I mean, I'm sorry. I'll never have sex with you, but that's awesome that you
but
want
I
to.
I appreciate it. Yes.
If you go and jerk off thinking of me, no matter who you are, guy, girl, yeah. whatever, I'm flattered. That boosts the ego.
So every time you have jerked off thinking of John Gabris, you should text at him, tweet at him, let him know. It will make his day.
Tweet at me if you masturbate about me and let me know what the fantasy is. And maybe I'll post
in 140 characters or less.
I'm just a
make some GIFs.
I'm no longer a podcast host. I'm just a webcam boy. Like, I'm like, what do you request? All right, send me $50 to my PayPal, and I like dance in like a male nurse's outfit. I don't think that's as much of a fetish. All right, and then one more question here from Bethany. Ever tried Pop Rocks during a blowjob?
That I haven't, but as soon as I read that question, I was like, that's the only thing that scares me about that is I just feel like, what if there's like a cut in your mouth or a cut on the dick? Like there's
Or like one lands directly in,
goes
your
in the urethra. That's an embarrassing trip to the emergency room.
Have you used any blowjob aids? In high school, we tried Altoids, mentholated Halls. You know,
yeah, I've done that. I've done an ice cube.
Ice cube's a good one.
Yeah,
hard on the mouth.
That is, it's tough.
That is what I heard from the girl. It hurts.
You might have to do some juggling.
Yeah,
like you might have to loosen
if you
can get your
jaw. An ice cube and a dick in your mouth. By the way, champion move. Right? That's pretty solid.
If you can do that, tweet at John Gabris.
And if you're a girl, tweet at my other account. my secret hidden account. DM me. I did Altoids using it when going down on a girl and Halls mentholated, and she seemed to be into it. Gives that little like, you know, like the gold bond mentholated feeling.
I've done some food things occasionally, like whipped cream or like a honey or a chocolate.
Oh yeah, I like that.
But it just that stuff just gets so sticky.
It's so you have to
so
be
messy.
Prepared for a shower, right?
Yeah,
after.
You have to.
I have a funny story. One of my college roommates went out to dinner with his girlfriend on their anniversary, and came and they ate like a big meal, and they came back, and you know, in college, when your girlfriend visits from another college, you like have to get it in that weekend. Yeah,
of course.
So he like they were doing like the chocolate syrup and the whipped cream, and they were both so full. They just were like, "Can we just wash this off and have sex? I can't eat any more food." So fun. I like the honey though. A fun game is I've heard is a dab of honey in like a hidden spot.
Oh, find the honey.
Yeah, like find the honey because it'll stay. You know what I mean? Like so, like
not too much
warmer.
Right.
Yeah, it'll stay until it's licked. So like you can get your whole body licked, and then you don't. The real trick is then you don't put any honey on your body. You get someone to lick your whole body like a cat, and then you're clean. Then you don't have to shower. Life hack. So guys, we're going to probably do more of these sex advice episodes. So if you have questions, you can tweet them at me and John. You can email them to highandmightypodcast@gabris.com. You can put it on our Facebook. Just hit us up, man. Track us down and ask us questions. We're ready to answer plenty more. John Flynn, do you have anything you want to plug? Your Twitter at jfly99. Is that correct?
That's right. Yep.
Oh, so that's like an AOL email address. I love it.
What else should I do?
I don't know. any other plugs or anything you want? Anyone shows coming
up? That's it right now.
All right. Good to hear. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.